All right, let's go right to our text. Now, the white I read, the yellow you read, right? And it's God's word, so we read loud. Yeah, yeah, if we read quietly, we're not ashamed, are we? Yeah, we're not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Okay, children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things are exposed and are made manifest by the light. For whatever makes manifest is light. Says, wake you who sleep. Rise from the dead. We'll give you light. Thank you. Thank you. Great, isn't it? Hey, I want to recognize one other person. I have a friend in the audience, and his name's Clint. And do you mind me pointing you out? No? Okay. Clint Blackhurst, he's the chief of police in Brighton. We thank him for coming. Yeah. And for the job he does. One of the things that I noticed as Clint does this is when you get pulled over in Brighton, and I have a couple times, I didn't get a ticket, they are so much kinder and so much more ready to serve than most any other city I've ever seen. And I'm not saying that because he's a friend, I'm just saying he has a great outlook of serving the community, with that, it bleeds down to the patrol officers. And if you've ever faced one, they're just kind and neat. And so I just think that's a testimony to you, Clint, and your leadership. All right, I want to point out a couple things in this passage here. Because I'm just going to do the first verse in the last verse. But it says, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. You know, my friends, this is a tough deal that we are so willing to not say anything when we disagree with someone, and I'm not saying to get in a fight, but especially with our Christian brothers and sisters, they'll get into places they shouldn't be in sin or whatever, and it is our obligation to talk to them. It's our obligation to expose it so that they realize where they're at and they can walk back out of those places. And I'm going to talk about it again today. It says, for it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things that are exposed are made manifest or revealed by the light, for whatever makes manifest is light. So I want you to keep that in mind. All right, so Debbie and I have our grandkids over quite often, and the other night we had our grandkids over. We had both Emma and Lindsay's kids over. That's seven right there. What's funny is when we have all the grandkids over, from Buddy all the way down to Ivy, inevitably somebody finds that wind-up flashlight in the toy box, okay? Now, what happens is they'll come over to me and go, Papa, will you wind this up? Because it's a little hard. So I'll wind it up and get it going, and it charges the internal battery. And then off they run, and this is usually Violet, right? Okay. And Violet runs, and she collects everybody, and they go into our laundry room where there's no windows, shuts the door, and turns the lights out, okay? Now, it's funny because at first you can kind of hear them talking and giggling and that kind of thing. Start pretty soon, you hear a couple bangs and a couple things fall off the shelves, and then pretty soon, all of a sudden, it's probably Violet's sister starts crying because it's too dark, and then finally we'll say, "Turn on the flashlight," you know, because Violet will keep it off as long as they don't commit suicide or something, and so finally she'll hit the light and turn it on. And when she turns on that light, all of a sudden, the crying stops, the giggling start, and they have fun. Because, you know, here's the thing. They could see everything clearly once that flashlight comes on, especially after they've been in the dark. Even though it may have a small beam, it lights up that whole laundry room. And all of a sudden, they know where they are. They know where to go. And until then, they were bumping and groping around. And they know where they are. And here's the thing. They're just like us. We were never meant for the dark. We were meant because we're children of light. Amen? And I look at that and I think, you know, darkness has fallen on this world through the evil one. And he's been trying to trick you into thinking you have no hope in surviving sin. Do you realize that? That's his goal, because that makes you totally incapable, ineffective to be able to lead people to Christ or do the work of the ministry as God has asked you to do. But the light of Christ has been turned on in us once we put our faith and trust in him as a Savior. And I look at that and I think, you know, I first of all, I think, well, why does God use the idea of light in the first place? It's because light exposes truth and exposes the lie, right? And light brings reality and it brings life, the scripture says. It means we aren't groping around in hope of something familiar, like my grandkids in the laundry room who have the light off. God says we're awakened from the dead and found life or light in Jesus Christ the moment we believe and surrender unto him. And he has given us light because he is the light. That's what the Bible says. Listen to John chapter 1. In him, Jesus, was life. And it is true, isn't it? In him is life. And the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. That was the true light, meaning it's referring back to the light, or we could say he, meaning Jesus, was the true light which gives light to every man coming into the world. So when anybody's born and lives on this earth, they know about Christ because he's enlightened them. They know about God. And we responded to the light. You and I now have light, and we see the truth, and we have life. And, you know, I just want to say this, that in the Christian life, when we start falling away and we start decide we're going to kind of practice a few things of darkness, what happens? Well, the first thing people say is, well, I'm a little confused about what the Bible's saying. It's a little foggy. Is it foggy, folks? No. It's very clear. It's just foggy when we want it to be foggy so we can go see if we can try to meet our needs through something outside of Christ, right? And then pretty soon we wake up and realize what a fools we are and we come back. I love this verse that we're reading today. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. We are light to those who are in darkness. The Bible even says that we shine as lights. And so it's imperative that we walk as to whom we are in Christ. Doesn't that make sense? Wouldn't it be a bummer if people, all they saw was our bad walk and we're Christian? You hear it all the time. Oh, I know a bunch of Christians and they don't, you know, they're no better than we are. And sad thing is, sometimes that's true. A lot of times it's not. But, you know, let me give you an example. This week, I went to turn out the lights on, I think it was Wednesday or something like that, and they didn't go out. And so I noticed the computers were off, and I got Gordon, and we looked around, and there's no power. We have four different circuits going into that sound booth, and they all were off. And so Gordon got his old meter out and found out the breakers were working fine. Okay, so we found out ultimately that when we have a fire alarm that goes off, it shuts all that down so you can hear the fire alarm, but it hardly ever works. That's why we didn't know what it was. So I called up the guy that wired this building. I mean, there's one guy in particular, and I said, where in the world is this deal? And we looked around and finally found it was in the storage room in the kitchen of all places down on the floor. And so we got that taken care of. But let's say this master electrician comes and I say, okay, we've lost the circuits in the sound booth. Can you help us? And he goes, well, and we've checked the breakers. And he'd say, well, what's a breaker? And you think, well, wait a minute. And what's 14-gauge wire when Gordon points out the wire? Or what do you mean the electrical outlets don't work? What is electrical outlet? Or, well, turn on the light switch. What's light switch? And he might even say to us, well, I don't even know how to wire a light switch. Doesn't sound much like a master electrician, does it? Now, does that make sense to you that he would be a master electrician and he didn't know at all electric? No. So, listen, we were children of light, but sometimes as Christians, we act like we don't know what the light is. And we don't live in the light because maybe you don't know who you are in Christ. Maybe that's something you don't know. And so you walk around like a master electrician and don't even know what a light switch is in your Christian life. It doesn't seem to make sense to the world when they see that, and it sure doesn't make sense to other Christians, and it doesn't make sense to Christ either. After all, he's given us all kinds of promises. He's told us he's given us the mind of Christ. He told us that we have all the power that raised Christ from the dead, and then we don't act like it. And he tells us, for you were, past tense, once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Now, let me review here just a second so we can look at this. The book of Ephesians presents us with the pattern of Christian living. In the first three chapters, it tells us who we've become in Christ and as his children. And the last three chapters tell us what to do, what our function is, and how we're to live as his children if we'll listen. And Paul, in chapters 4, 5, and 6, gives us this clear, concise, and careful outline of what our behavior should be as new creations in Christ. And if we're to sum it up, we would probably sum it up with four great walks in Ephesians from 4 through 6. And in 4 verse 1, the first one says, to walk worthy of our calling. Walk worthy of our calling. Now, what's our calling? Well, we're made in God's craftsmanship, and I'm going to go over that in a minute. And so he's built us to be able to serve in certain ways, all of us being different. If there's 5 billion people, it'd be 5 different ways to serve Christ, right? No two people are alike. And so we're to walk, but when it says walk worthy, it means walk in balance. Walk in balance. Balance who you are with what you do. Isn't that kind of cool? And so he uses that word in there. It's a word to walk in our calling because we've been called. And in other words, the word... On Wednesdays, I teach a class in Romans. We're in the first chapter. We got started, and so it talks a little bit about our calling. So I stopped, and we decided, and we've got a few people here that are in that class, and we took this sheet here on empty spaces, and we started with Ephesians 1, starting with verse 3, and we went through the first three chapters to decide who we are and what we are in Christ, okay? And let me just read a couple of these to you. It says, blessed be the God, and it says, God is happy. God's not mad at us. Now, you may mess up and that kind of think, oh, have you ever said this to yourself? God must be mad at me. You know what? He's not. He's not mad. He may be grieved. In chapter 4, it says that you can grieve the Holy Spirit, but he's not mad at you. You're his children. You know, it's just like... John and Buddy, his oldest, were getting ready to go to Seattle. They're up there now. They're going to watch the Super Bowl up there with my sister and brother-in-law. And so Buddy left footprints on the ceiling, I'm sure. He was so wound up. You know, and you look at that, so he's getting in trouble and getting in trouble and getting in trouble because he's just so wound up. He's so excited to go to Seattle. And so he's wound up. Am I mad at him for being wound up? No. I love him. I have to tell him to stop, but I'm not mad at him, and I'm not angry with him. And so God is happy with us, and then he chose us in him to be holy, first of all, blameless. We're not blamed for our sin. We're adopted. We've been made acceptable in him just as we are. We've been redeemed. We've been bought back. We've been forgiven of our sins. He's given us all wisdom. We're one people. We have an inheritance coming. God owns a lot of cattle, right? We are the praise of his glory because of his grace. We're sealed with his spirit till the day of redemption. We have a new body. We have been given understanding. He wants us. You know, in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 18-19, he says that the eyes of our understanding be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what is the our inheritance in him. And when he says this, the scripture is very clear that he wants us. It isn't that we just want God. It's that he wants us. He's a king. He has to have a kingdom. And we want to be part of his kingdom, don't we? I'd sure love to be under his kingdom other than the one that we're in even now. Wouldn't you? Man, it's incredible. Okay, and then it says that he's given us the power, God's power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead. Well, I want to amplify that. He's given us the power that created the universe, right? And then we're made alive in him. The next, in chapter 2, the next one is he's loved us, not with love, but with a great love, it says, and mercy. We sit with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Now, that's why I've always said, it says that we're sitting with him right now in the heavenlies, and we're here on earth. That's why you feel schizophrenic, Christian, because you're two places at once. You should feel schizophrenic. We have grace forever, not for a time, okay? We're saved by his grace. We aren't saved by works. We're his craftsmanship. And I've said this many times, we're his, the Greek word is poeo, we're his poem. That's where we get our word poem. And he's created us specifically like no other. Then he's given us peace. He's made us into a new person, a new creation. He's given us direct access to God. We don't have to go through anybody else. We can pray directly to God. When you think about it, isn't that amazing that we could do that? We're fellow citizens, and we're members of his whole household, and we are the temple of God. Now, that's just a mere 30 things that God has given us, okay? And that's why he says, okay, then with that mere 30, balance your walk. You have all those promises. You are all those things. Now, walk like it. And so we have these four walks, walk worthy, okay? And then we are a new creation in Christ. And with all these promises, then Paul says, walk to the expectation. Walk to the expectation of who you are. And it's just like you would do with your own family. If my kids are out there goofing up, I go, come on, you're a Blackwell, right? Don't act like that. That's crazy to act like that. And I'm Steve Almighty. Who are you? Huh? Yeah, well, that's God's last name, right? I'm Steve Almighty. I'm part of God. I need to live up to that expectation. You are God's children. Don't you want to live up to that expectation? And he's given us the power and the strength to do it. And so he says when we get to chapter 5, verse 1, he tells us to be imitators of God and walk in love. Walk in love. And so we have to balance that walk, not only balance it with unity, but now we're going to balance it with love. That's the equation. And so we walk worthy to the expectation. And then imitating God, we walk in love. Today, we're going to walk in the light. a walk in the light, and then we're going to hear maybe next week or the following week, walk accurately in wisdom. Those four walks. Walk worthy of the expectation, walk in love, be imitators of God, walk in the light because you are light, and then walk accurately because in wisdom. So we have this balance of love, light, and accuracy. So today, we are to imitate God in our lives after Christ and walk worthy as we walk as children of light. Okay, now, let's take the word walking. I've talked about that before in some places, but there's two aspects to walking when God's talking about. And you remember that I told you that means to walk around. It doesn't just mean to walk. When you're looking in the Greek, it means as you walk around in life, you do two things. One is your intellect, and the second thing is your morality, our actions of walking. And let me contrast to the darkness. When you walk around in the darkness in Satan's world, it refers to ignorance. And last week I talked about that ignorance, and it really says that you're stupid and moronic. Literally, that's what it says in the Greek, morons. I loved it. That's the only way I can get away with it. It's light, it's truth, right? Okay. All right. So, and it means that we're stupid and we're moronic, and then we're also shamed when we walk in the darkness. And then the morally part of this walk in the darkness refers to evil. Now, let's contrast to now. We walk in the light. And so intellectually, we have the truth and the knowledge in the truth, and morally means we have moral behavior and holiness. That's what God is asking of his children. So light and darkness is the contrast of both truth and behavior. So walking in darkness means that the minds are darkened and that they are walking to a lie and evil and unholiness. And darkness sometimes seems to be comfortable for us as Christians. Sometimes we fall back because we think, oh, it has the answer for us here. If I could just do this or be this, I'll be okay. And we look for it outside of Christ, right? And every time, it goose us up. I've never heard anybody to try to find their needs outside of Christ and win. It just doesn't seem to work. And so we begin to get stupid and moronic, and we imitate the darkness. And we become partakers with them. If you remember last week's sermon, we aren't them, right? We are not them. We partake with them. And God says, don't be partakers with them, okay? And it comes after this proverb that I learned, man, early in my Christian life. Proverbs 26:11, as the dog returns to his own vomit, so a fool repeats his folly. Isn't that true? Now, I'm not going to go into a dog, the picture in your mind where you see the dog going back. I'm not going to do that. Okay. But you know what I'm talking about. Listen, people. We are not victims. Right? We try at times to act like we're victims, and we say, well, we can't help it. We just say, no, you're not a victim. We have the power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead, that created this universe to live the Christian life. We, by choice, go back to the vomit, so to speak. And we can walk in the light and stay out of the darkness. Let me give you a couple scriptures on the power that you have to do this. Number one, 1 Corinthians 4:20. For the kingdom of God, are you in the kingdom of God? Okay. For the kingdom of God is not in word, but in what? Power. Ephesians 3:20. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the what? The what? Works in us. Woo. 2 Timothy 1:7, a great scripture to memorize. For God has not given us the spirit of fear. But of what? Power. And what? Love and what? Sound mind, which means self-control. Yeah. Let me read the parallel passage in Colossians. Colossians 1:10, that you may walk worthy or balanced, again, of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power. For all patience and long-suffering with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has delivered us from, now listen to this, I want this to drill into your head, this verse 13. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us or transferred us into the kingdom of his Son, of his love. Isn't that a neat verse? So if you have ears this morning and can hear, because Jesus said that, so I'm just saying what he says. If you have, you who has ears, let him hear. Satan actually has no power over us, but what we let him. Do you hear that this morning? Satan has no power over you. You may feel like you're a victim. You are not, according to the scripture. Do you believe that this morning? It may feel like that because you're in, maybe in a cycle of sin, or you're not calling on God and asking him to help you deliver, and you think there's no power. In fact, I think it's interesting how much Satan has marketed himself in this world. In other words, let's think about it for a minute. When you talk about black magic, when you talk about a Ouija board, when you talk about all these things, all of a sudden you think, ooh, power, right? Then we think God. We think, oh, he doesn't have much power. But Satan has a ton of power. You know what that's called? Marketing. How many times have you had maybe a cleaner and you looked on there for the specific things on that cleaning thing, and it'll do linoleum and it'll do hardwood and that kind of thing, and you pour it on your hardwood and you clean and it doesn't do a very good job, right? False marketing, okay, right? False marketing. Satan markets falsely. It's counterfeit. He doesn't market the truth. He markets a lie, but he makes it look like the truth. Remember in the not too long ago, we were reading that Satan makes himself appear as an angel of light. Marketing. False marketing. Right? Let me see if let me just read this again. Strengthened with all might according to his glorious power. You know, when we sin, it's a relapse, right? Because we're children of light. That doesn't change. We relapse. And when we relapse, it's like the AA or something like that. You have to pick yourself up, dust yourself off. The first thing you have to do is seek the higher power. We know who the higher power is, don't we? Yeah. How stupid we get when we think we're going to find something out outside of Christ in our life. It just messes up. So let me just kind of give you a story here, maybe help look at this. Imagine you're lost in a cave, okay? Now, I'm sorry, claustrophobics, okay? All right, but you're lost in a cave, and by the way, I just want to say this. My brother-in-law, Bobby, who does the youth, oh, he loves caves. And he was telling me this one day about he had him and a few kids, and they were going through these caves out here in the foothills. And at one point, the cave was so small, they had to let all of their breath out to get through. Then they got into the other side, lit a fire, campfire in the cave, and all of a sudden, the oxygen goes away. And then they're all having to slither back out and lose it. Oh, man, I'm telling you. You don't have to be a claustrophobic to not want to do that, right? When Bobby was telling me, I thought, I will never go to a cave with you. You know, if it's big and I can get in it, and I'm not even claustrophobic, but it just, does it kind of do that to you? Especially when taking the breath out, you know. And so imagine you're lost in this cave, okay, and you're kind of in similar situations, and you keep trying to find your way out, and as you do, you kind of keep going deeper and deeper, and you're kind of groping to see if you can get back up, and the battery on your headset or your flashlight goes out, and so it's pure black, and pretty soon, you realize, I'm lost. I don't know how to get out of here, and you don't have the slightest idea where to go, and you're scared, and your heart is pounding, but all you can see is this oppressive blackness. And in the midst of that darkness, you grope to find the light and open, and all of a sudden you see an opening to the outside. And finally, way out somewhere, there's a sliver of light, and you move towards the light, and as you move towards the light, you still kind of grope and feel your way around so you don't slip back away from that light. And finally, it comes down to a bigger opening, and all of a sudden, you see the exit, and you charge out of that cave. You know what I'm talking about? Have you ever done that? You charge out of the cave like this person's doing, and it really is that way when you've been stuck in a dark place. I mean, even emotionally, that's the way it is. And you come out of that cave in that good Colorado hot sunshine hits you in the face, and you've been in this dark, dank cave, and you think, oh my gosh, I will never do that again, right? And then all of a sudden, a little while later, you think, well, wait a minute, there were some pretty interesting things in that cave that I'd like to check out again. You know where I'm going, right? Foolish, foolish people we are. Thank God, God loves us with a great love. Thank God that God has given us the power to live the Christian life. He's given us the encouragement. He loves us with a great love. And essentially what we do is we keep trying to find something outside of him, and we enter that cave again and the deeds of darkness, and then all of a sudden it comes to us, this is not going to do it. My folks, we have to walk in the light as he is in the light, right? We freely fall into Satan's counterfeit system. And so the invitation comes to you throughout history, and it's the last three lines of the verses that we read today. Listen to this. Awake, you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. One little tiny verse that really almost contains the gospel and the Christian life put together, and it shows the dilemma of sin because what feels like death. And the invitation comes to him, awake, you who sleep, Christians. Rise from the dead, Christians. You aren't dead. And Christ will give you the light. Christian, if this is describing you, wake up. Wake up, right? Are you with me here? Wake up. You're not going to find it out there. You're not going to find it away from Christ. It doesn't work. It fails consistently every time. Now, you may be here and you don't know Christ and you don't have a relationship with him. Let me talk to you for a second.